Paul, would you read our psalm? Psalm 37, 21 through the end.
Psalm 37. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those he curses will be cut off. If the Lord delights in a man's way, he makes his steps firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young, and now I am old. Yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread. They are always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will dwell in the land forever. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake his faithful ones. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in their power, or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in its native soil. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. Consider the blameless. Observe the upright. There is a future for the man of peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and again, we are grateful that we can come gather together here, that we can come and worship you, we can sing praises, we can learn about you, we can have that fellowship, we can grow in you more. Lord, we ask that all that we do be a blessing to you. Everything that we do has purpose for you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, go and open up to the book of James, James chapter 5 today. When I was originally going through this, I was thinking, you know what? We can hit verses 13 through 20 in one sitting. But then again, nobody packed a lunch. So we can't do that today. I had big plans of getting through this, but this week, it wouldn't allow that to happen. So we're getting ready to finish up this book. Well, probably in the next couple weeks, we'll finish the book of James. And as we do this, what we need to do is, and I keep telling you guys this, is to remember the context. Remember the context of the book. Remember who the book is, who the letter was written to, or the book, who it was written to, why it was written, and of course, the cultural context too, because there's some culture within the books as well that, as I was going through this particular passage, it was hard for me to understand because I wasn't around during that time, and they do things a little differently with a different mindset. So you got to remember the context if you desire to read the scriptures and to interpret the very word of God. Now, to interpret means to understand or to explain what it means. Now, as we get into the last part of the book of James, this part is taken out of context quite often. Real quick, James 5:15 says, "And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick." Now, one will use, and we'll get into this, but give you a little pretense into this. One will use this verse to demand something from God. They'll say, God, it's in your word. You promised it. It's going to happen. You will do it. And I knew guys that would pray like this, demand of God that they do this, demand God heal this person. That's dangerous ground. That's very dangerous ground. But people will use that. The faith healers will use that. They demand God does this. And if God doesn't do it, they bring it back on the person who was ill. Well, you just didn't have enough faith. You didn't believe, or else it would have happened. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. Others will see this as proof that one must be anointed with oil to be cured of sickness. Is that what God is teaching? God must answer prayers the way we need them answered? And we must use oil on all the sick? Is that what he's teaching? Out of context, it appears that way. But we'll look at it, the proper interpretation, what the author intended to teach. And that's the biggest one. What does the author intend? Not what we think, but what is he saying? So we're going to read James chapter 5, verses 13 through 20. And we'll probably be honest with you, we're only going to get to 16. We can't finish this up today, but that's okay. So 5:13 through 20, I'll just read the whole thing. It says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And the prayer of a righteous person has great power in its working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth, and someone brings him back, let him know that the one who wanders back, that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Now, as James is ending this letter, he closes with more advice. He starts with a question. His question is anyone among you suffering? Now, I don't believe this is a generic suffering. Rather, James is tying his letter together. He's referring to those who have been persecuted, treated wickedly, and abused, not by those who are physically suffering. That would be a logical flow of the argument that he has here. He was writing to the Jews who were not in Israel, the Jews who were scattered, and they were being treated badly. They were in, again, we covered this, they were in a strange land filled with people they didn't know, and they were being treated badly or poorly. And they needed to keep their faith. And the same word for suffering is used in verse 10, which reads, as an example of suffering and patience, brother, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As an example of suffering, it's the same Greek word there. So those who are being persecuted for their faith. Now for those who are suffering, James knows a way to deal with the suffering. That's a very simple answer, isn't it? What does he say? What should they do? Pray. He says, pray. It's that simple. It's that simple. Talk to God and seek Him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your anxieties on Him because He cares for you. He wants to hear it. He wants us to express what's on our hearts, what's on our minds, what we're going through, what we're struggling with. He wanted the people at this time to express what's on their hearts, to draw closer to God, to have that connection with Him. God wants His people to talk to Him. people forget to pray, so they need to be reminded to pray. Prayer is not complicated, okay, guys? It's not complicated at all. It is one being themselves and talking to God. Now, I should be able to ask anyone to pray for the church service, to pray. And nobody should be afraid. How many people don't like praying in public? A bunch of people, right? It's intimidating. But I always ask why. We're talking to God. We're talking to God. People are afraid they don't have the right words. They don't have the right formula. You always hear those people, well, you got to pray like this. You got to pray like this. You got to pray this prayer. You got to say this phrase. You got to use this word that you don't even understand what you're using. We get these big theological words we can use. And some people expect others to use them. Why do that? What good does that do? I think when Jesus taught people to pray, it was, you know, be thankful. Recognize who God is. And to ask for what you need. Ask for what you want and give thanks. That's the best way to do it. That's the best way to do it. And be yourself. See, I like to listen to when others pray. Because they're different than I am. And I'm different than a lot of people. And it's just unique how God uses each and every one of us individually. And we all have different ways of praying. I remember hearing this when I was a youth pastor. I heard this one girl pray. She goes, "Hi, God," to start a prayer. And it was unique. It was her. Like, I've got no problem with that. We need to be reminded that we have access to God. We have access, verbal access to the one who created everything. We could talk to him. See, God made you. And he allows his people to talk to him. James is saying if one is suffering, they should pray. Don't forget to pray. God is in control. And he is seeing all that is going on in the world. And he knows what's already on your mind. What a scary thought, huh? He knows what's on your mind. He already knows. So talk to him. He knows what you're going through. Then he asks another question. Is anyone cheerful? This could be an attitude or an emotional state of being. Now, cheerful is the opposite of suffering, isn't it? However, can one be cheerful while suffering? Oh, it's possible. Oh, it's possible. Just because one is suffering does not mean they can't be cheerful. It's how you look at the situation. Now, right now, things aren't looking so good for this country, is it? I don't care what side of the political aisle you're on. Things aren't looking good in a worldly sense, are they? We don't know what's going on. We don't know what the truth is half the time. We get two or three different stories that don't add up. I believe the USA is a mess right now. There's too much division. There's too much fighting. There's too much of people not getting along. How can we be cheerful when we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring when it comes to the political mindset of this place? Well, I'll tell you how we're going to be cheerful. Well, anyways, the believer can be cheerful. Not so much the non-believer. I don't know how they can find joy and cheer in what's going on. The believer can be cheerful because of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross and knowing that he is coming back soon. We're not here forever, guys. We're not on this planet in this condition forever. We're just wandering through. We're passing through for those who are believers. We are supposed to be in the world, not of the world. We're supposed to be different. Some of us are more different than others. That's the way we're supposed to look at it. That's where we find joy. I'm like, I'm only here for a short time. Whether that be for another 10 minutes or another 100 years. Ain't that right, Shauna? but it's short compared to eternity. And I believe Jesus is coming back very soon. Very soon. It can mean at any moment or years to come. It's that mindset. I know he's coming back. I believe he's coming back. I am confident in his return. And all will be made better. If he doesn't come back in my lifetime, guess what? I'll go see him. Not a big deal. Not a big deal. I'll be with him. See, the believer has Christ. That's joy. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your struggles, no matter how bad you feel right now, if you have Christ, that is your joy, knowing it's not permanent. You'll be with him. Being joyful is a good thing, and one should sing praises to God, sing hymns to God. And for some of us, we make a joyful noise to God. We just make a noise, and the Lord interprets that. He makes that instead of an A flat, he'll make it a B minor, F7 sharp, whatever that is. Make a joyful noise. Sing to him. Realize God's in control, no matter what you're going to. So be cheerful. If you're suffering or cheerful or both, look to the Lord and seek him. Now, singing and praying to God is spiritually good for our spirit. The believer needs to keep that in mind so as to concentrate on the Lord. And it's a reminder that God's still a part of our lives. When we're singing to him and we're praying to him, where's our focus? On him. On him and not on the situation. He will see us through the situation his way. But he'll be with us. Then James continues on with the same theme by asking another question. Is anyone here among you sick? Is anyone sick? Now this is where I got kind of bogged down for hours and hours. The word sick is taken a couple different ways. It can mean spiritually weak or an illness. Both. I believe in the context, it could be referring to illness and spiritually weak due to the use of the words. Now, James, he'll use two different Greek words in this passage. In verse 14, he uses one Greek word and then a different Greek word in verse 15. And here's the deal. Here's the other bad thing as you do a word study and you look at how they're used. And how they were translated. They could be interchangeable to mean to be ill or to be weak. So after hours and hours of looking at those two words and trying to figure out what the main deal was, because after reading it, it can deal with both, I think what James is concentrating more on is prayer. Is the power of prayer. So when I look at the word sick, we're going to keep the power of prayer in mind no matter what condition that may be. Because I was reading numerous commentaries and they couldn't even agree. So it's, when we look at the word sick, we look at it through the power of prayer and understand it is God's working. So is there anyone among you sick, the passage says. And then James gives answer to that. He says, let him call on the elders of the church. Let him call on the elders, or the presbyterios is what it's called. Now, these are different than the deacons, but they're very closely related. The deacon, it comes from the Greek word meaning table waiter or server. They're the servers of the church. They are the ones who do the work of the church. And then but they're really close to the elders. They're really close, but the elders, they have what is called a shepherd's heart, and they spend more of their time studying and in the Word. Acts chapter 6. Gives a good illustration on those. Acts 6, 1 through 4. It says, "Now in these days, when the disciples were increasing in number, a complaint by the Hellenists arose against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the full number of disciples and said, 'It is not right that we should give up preaching the word of God to serve tables. Therefore, brothers, pick out from among you of 7 men of good repute, full of the spirit and of wisdom, whom we will appoint to this duty. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word.'" So they would get these guys in here, these elders in there to pray over them. They are spiritually mature men, and they have an understanding of God's will because they're in His Word so much. So these men are called to go see the sick and to pray over them. And they are to anoint them with oil. Now, this anointing with oil is kind of a twofold, the way I understand it. Now, I don't fully understand it, but here's to the best of what I know. It is something that the Jews practice as part of a ceremony, but more importantly, it's accompanied with prayer. So pray over the sick and anoint them with oil because they prayed over them. Also, oils have medicinal purposes to it as well. They do provide some sort of healing. See, they are to anoint them with oil to help them spiritually, and it may be used to bring about medicinal healing as well. Of course, none of this is possible without calling on the name of the Lord. Without Christ, it's not possible to do. Christ has to be the center of it all. And the thing I said, they have to call on the name of the Lord is because if the Lord chooses to heal, and they don't call upon the name of the Lord, but yet if He chooses to heal, they will boast in their own work if the Lord heals. That's why I said you have to be focused on Christ and get that mindset. And James, this last part is full of ands. It says, "Let him call on the elders of the church and let him pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and he will, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins." Oh, a lot of ands in there. He keeps on giving instruction. Keeps on giving instruction. But this one we're at, and if he has committed sin, he will be forgiven. There's an if in there. And if. If there is sin involved in the person's life, it will be forgiven. And I got to thinking about that too. And if he has committed sin, it will be forgiven. What he's talking about, even a person who is ill, who is an immature Christian living in sin, God can still raise them up and heal them according to His will and purpose. If there is sin in his life and he's struggling, God can still work through him. God will still forgive him. Then next, James brings it to the end of instruction on the power of prayer. He tells them to confess their sins to each other. Confessing your sins helps with physical healing and spiritual healing. It is good for one's spirit. They are to pray for one another. It's a reliance on God for each other. They know they need God for all kinds of healing power that only comes from God. And then James ends verse 16. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Now this comes across a little weird to me. Seems a little off when you look at the translation. However, I think the NASB translated it better. They said the effective prayer of a righteous person, of a righteous man can accomplish much. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. The idea is that God can use the prayer to do the things that He has planned. He can use them. They're effective, and He'll use them according to His will. See, the prayer of a righteous man is effective because he spends time trying to know God more and to seek God's will. The righteous man knows that he serves a God who has plans and will see the plans through. So he spends time knowing God, growing closer to Him through His Word. He knows how to pray. He knows how to pray. Now, this passage is focusing on the power of prayer and the Christian responsibility. Prayer is so powerful that we must be in prayer as individuals, as family, as a church body. God wants us to talk to Him and rely on Him for all things, even when we're sick and spiritually weak. He will use prayer to display His glory and His power. He does the work if we ask, and it's His will. We always must ask according to His will, because our own will is flawed. We must seek His will. See, we can read through the Scriptures and see how God has worked through the prayers of His people. Jonah prayed to be delivered from the belly of a fish. Jesus prayed, and the food was multiplied. The people of Israel cried out to God, and they were and He delivered them from nations. So many great things happened. His people prayed. His people prayed. Prayer should be the first priority in one's life. It is one, talking to God, and guess what? You're waiting on an answer. He wants to hear what's on our hearts. And just for you guys to know, yes, He knows the very things you're going to pray for. Well, if He already knows, why should I pray? Well, because you didn't pray. He knows you're going to pray, so pray. Take that time. Speak to Him. Pray for the things you need to pray for. We need God as individuals, as families, as a church, and as a nation. Our church is sick nowadays. Our church is turning away from the truth. Our country, I believe, is sick. We need to be praying for these things, guys. We have to call on God. If we don't, who is? That's right, nobody. Nobody. There are churches who walk away from truth and they're leading others down to destruction with bad theology, and we're not praying for them. Others are getting hurt by this. Our country is going away from God. They're not serving Him. They're not talking to Him. So if we're not talking to Him, what's there to listen to, right? How can He hear us? We've seen the effect on us walking away from God as a country. Sin is becoming good. Sin is becoming good. And morality and Christian living is wrong. Seems backwards, doesn't it? Sin should be wrong. People should have morals and good Christian living. But that's been flipped over. See, and here's the thing. God can change this place. He can change the hearts of churches. But He wants His people to pray. He wants His people to call upon Him. He wants us to call out to Him, and guess what? He's going to answer. He is going to answer. See, God uses His people and the prayers of His people to do great things. And the thing is, it's not us doing it. It's not us doing it. It's God. It's God doing it. We do not have the power in ourselves to heal people, do we? I can't go up there and just thump Trevor on the head and say, "You're healed," right? He'll say, "No, now I've got a concussion. I'm not healed." Doesn't happen that way. It's only through God. We see these all kinds of crazy people on TV trying these weird things. And it's just a scam. It's just a scam. People cannot heal or do miraculous things. God heals according to His will. When one prays according to the will of God, His answer will always be yes. Interesting. Do you know God's will, all of it? No. Well, that's why we pray. We pray, "God, not my will, but Your will be done." It's a bold statement, but if God allows it, it'll happen. It'll happen. God always answers prayer. It's a yes or a no. He'll always answer. And I got that one person out there thinking, "But wait, there's a third answer. There's wait, right?" It's either yes or no, regardless. You have to wait for the answer, yes or no, but it's yes or no. It's that simple. There's only two responses. James tells us about the power of prayer. We have direct access to the Creator of the universe. We need Him. We need His direction. We need His guidance in all areas of our lives. And that is one thing why we have a prayer meeting every Sunday. It's a recognition on who God is. We ask God, flies. We pray together because we know we need God. We come together to pray as a church should. And if we don't get together to pray, what happens? We go our own way, right? We lose our focus on who God is, what He wants for us. We need people to pray. We need all y'all, you-ins. Did I cover everybody? Yeah, everybody. We need y'all to pray. And if you want to join us at our prayer meetings at 6 o'clock Sundays, please join us. We need the prayers of His people. It gets our mind focused, and God will hear us. God will hear us. So it's right after Bible study. Come to Bible study at 5 o'clock tonight. Come to the prayer meeting. Our focus is to draw closer to God and seek His guidance, grow in His will. Prayer is something anybody can do. Who can't pray? Good. See? Everybody can pray. Do not let fear control your life. Rather, seek God and have Him take control. Seek Him through prayer. Seek Him through His Word. Grow in Him. Be bold. Know the power of prayer. It can do so much. So many examples through Scriptures. Keep praying. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You, and it is a great reminder, knowing the power of prayer, knowing that all we have to do is talk to You, and You hear us. You take time to hear each and every one of us when we talk to You. You want us to talk to You. You want us to rely on You. You want to work through us. Lord, and that's what we ask for right now. That You open up our minds to the things that You need us to be opened up to. That You guide us. You direct us. Lord, we're here seeking Your will for our lives. Like I said, You have a job for each and every one of us. As long as we have a pulse and we're breathing, there's work to be done. Help us to realize that. Help us to realize that when we call out to You, you listen. And you are the one that changes hearts. You are the one that changes minds. You are the one that brings nations down and raises them up. You're the one that puts leaders in and takes them out. Lord, we call ourselves Christians. Help us to be praying for the things that we need to be. Our churches, our families, our country, our local cities. Lord, we need you. And through prayer, we can bring them all up to you. And Lord, we ask that you use us. We'll be praying for things. And Lord, if it's your will for us to do them, make it known to us. If there are jobs that we have to do, make it known. Use us to complete your will. Yes, we can pray, but there's got to be action to go with it. And Lord, right now, help us to pray that we can be used by you, not just to sit on the couch and watch the world go by, because we have that hope who is in you, that you will save us. But Lord, help us to keep busy during that time, seeking your truth and your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. See that no one render to any evil for evil, but pursue always what is good towards one another and towards all. Rejoice always. Pray unceasingly. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus towards you. Amen.